But again, we have victory in this. And we want to make sure that we always walk in victory in this area. Amen. By way of announcements, and you can prepare your offerings, make your checks out to TFT if you're making out check, if you're giving cash, there's envelopes on the back of the seat. Fill out the envelope, write legibly so that we can read, because we record the information. If you're making out checks, make sure you put the year 2019 and not 2018. It's easy to do. It happens. And as I said before, if you don't mind us changing that, not that 8 to a 9, then, you know, we're okay. But if you want to make sure that we don't have to change that, then make sure, you know, watch as you're writing. To God be the glory. Amen. If you want to give by text, 73256, I believe is the number, and the instructions will come up there sometime on the screen. If not, one of our leaders here will gladly help you out. Text giving, it's a convenient feature that we have here for people to give, because you don't have to wait till you get to church to give. You can give it at the moment. You know, you just prayed up, caught up in the spirit, and all of a sudden you feel like, oh man, I want to give, but I'm over here. You just pull out that smartphone and then text to 73256, Luke 638. Luke 638 TFT, there it is up there, and space, dollar sign, and whatever amount you wish to give. It'll come back up. You'll have to fill out your information. Once you do it, it's recorded, and you don't have to fill all of that information out again. But it's connected by email, so we need your email as well. And you can easily give through text giving. You can also do online on our website. You can give that way as well. Or Sister Lauren, she's somewhere around here, Minister Posada's wife, she can also do credit, debit card, swipe, if you will. We try and make it easy to do, convenient to do, and also give you the opportunity to where you just want to physically bring it as well. All options concerning giving. Amen? All right. This coming Saturday, February the 2nd, we're already here at February. It's at the door. Friday is February the 1st. Praise God. Because if Saturday is the 2nd, Friday's got to be the 1st. Anyways, E-Team will be going out 10:30 a.m. Please contact Brother Kwame for details, or he will be in touch with you through Facebook Messenger, letting you know where you're going to be going to. And last week, 4 and then 3 at Special Ops, or how was that? Yes. So 7. Praise God. And so anyways, the count goes on. Amen. Last year was last year. This year is this year. And so the count goes on, and we want to continue to, we want to see more. We want to see at least double. Triple would be good. Triple what we did last year. So anyways, Brother Kwame is out there aggressively and leading the team, and we thank God for him and his desire to go out there and win souls, not just on Saturday, but every day of the week, basically. He's always messaging saying, you know, so-and-so or this many gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in that. As I was sharing, I didn't see this as the praise report, but Sister Maria Vigil, she's one of those who watches Facebook Live, her and her husband. And anyways, on Facebook Live, it says she watched, and as Apostle was releasing healing, she stood in proxy for her daughter, Mariah. Is it her daughter or sister? Daughter, okay. Daughter Mariah, okay. For thyroid, the test came back negative for autoimmune deficiencies. So, Father, we rejoice in you and we thank you. Thank you that people can believe, even if they're not in the building, people can believe and hold fast to what you're doing because there's no limitations to your power. Faith and faith alone. Hallelujah. Faith and faith alone. And so we thank you for that, and we thank you for what you're going to continue to do for the glory of God. So we rejoice in that. Amen. Have you given your offerings? Okay, then let's hold them up. Praise Jesus. I'll join in with you. Thank you, Jesus, for releasing our faith right now. Amen. Stretch forth your hands in faith. Who has a financial need? Okay. Whoever has a financial, everybody else put your hands down. Whoever has a financial need, lift your hands. Okay. Amen. Now we're going to trust God. Hallelujah. We're going to trust God. So the number I hear is 7. Anybody else hear a number? If you did, shout it out. If you didn't, you got 10? Okay. All right. Nobody else. Within 7 and within 10 days, financial breakthrough is coming. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. And you watching by Facebook, this is a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled Me Too moment. You can join in too. Within 7 to 10 days, something's going to happen in 7, something's going to happen in 10. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just agree. Do we have anybody in here who agrees? I mean, agrees. We agree. We agree with heaven. We agree with our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. We agree with the Holy Ghost. We agree in what He releases. Father, breakthrough for every person that lifted. We stand in the gap. We stand in agreement for them, for their financial breakthrough. Father, 7 came up and 10 came up. You know how they apply. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we hold fast to that. That within 7 days, breakthrough is coming. Within 10 days, breakthrough is coming. And that, Lord, you're going to be glorified as your pure people experience what's being released in the house tonight. Let faith arise. Let me hear your faith. Let me hear your faith. Let me hear your faith. Don't be afraid to believe. Only believe. Only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible to those who believe. Yeah, yeah. Got no reason to doubt. Got no reason to doubt. So, Father, we receive what you're speaking tonight. We release it. We release it to everyone that's reaching out in faith that they will see it, it will manifest, and you will be glorified. And they'll come back here and they'll give you praise for it because they'll know it's a result of what was released tonight. So we just agree with them for financial breakthrough. We thank you right now for their financial breakthrough. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've done and what you're about to do, Master. And as we lift these offerings up before you, we lift them up in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God who's at your right hand. We lift these offerings up to honor you and to glorify you. Receive our heartfelt worship that goes in our giving. We thank you for every giver, every supporter, every tither, every seed sower, everyone that blesses this ministry financially, in order that the work of God, the kingdom of God, can go forth in the earth. Father, we thank you that you are going to reward them and honor them. You're going to reward and honor their faith and their giving. That, Lord, you'll continue to watch over them and make supernatural abundant provision on their behalf. If they need jobs, you'll grant it. If they need raises, you'll give it. If they need promotion, it will come. If they need anything, you will supply their every need because they are taking care of your business, Lord God, in and through this ministry, Threshing Floor Tabernacle. We thank you for the formation of this ministry, for the existence of this ministry, for the longevity of this ministry. We thank you for every laborer. We thank you for every leader. We thank you for every giver. We thank you for every strong supporter. We thank you for every person that prays for us, every person that believes with us, every person that is for us. We thank you. And we thank you, Father God, for you are awesome. and you're doing an awesome work in and through us. So we honor you and give you praise and bless your wonderful name. And thank you for blessing your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed said amen.
Amen.
All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. When you get there, say amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you for the biblical scholars that are there already. Like, hur up, hur up. Hur up and get there. Okay. Love this passage. It's not the only scripture. It's just, you know, love and appreciate the word of God. Okay. So here we go. It's okay. And the very God of peace. Hallelujah. The Greek word is irene, E-I-R-E-N-E. And the way it looks like it's pronounced is irene, talking about peace. And this peace means peace. By implication, prosperity. So peace not only means that inner calmness, quietness, if you will, peace also deals with prosperity. It deals with the individual. Prosperity is not just material, but prosperity is also spiritual. When we start to grow as the people of God, we start to mature. We start to get better. We start to get stronger. Our faith, everything just begins to grow. And we start to prosper and benefit from that. Not just materially, financially, or any other natural way that people could see with their eyes, but also inwardly, growing in peace. Hallelujah. Maturing in peace. So that things from the outside don't easily affect us on the inside because we're growing in peace. It's one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. First there's love, he talks about, then he talks about joy, then he talks about peace. And it's an attribute, it's a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And so here Paul says the very God of peace. And peace does come from God. Jesus says, peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not the peace that is in the world. Peace in the world, we know, it's only conditional. It's based on the conditions of life. If things are in an uproar, life is in an uproar. If things are calm, life is calm. But for the believer, if things are in an uproar, believers are calm. If things are good, believers are calm. Either way it goes, either way it comes, people, the people of God that are operating in the spirit of peace, if you will, it doesn't matter. They know all is well. It's like the woman who, when she brought her dead son to the prophet, and in bringing her dead son, he sends his servant on the way to see if everything is okay. And she's like, it is well. It is well. She knew within her knower, you prophesied this son to me. You're going to raise this son up. I'm bringing him to you. When the dad sent him home, take him home to his mama took him to the prophet and said, here. So here we go, or my mind sometimes it gets kind of like, but I won't give over to it, amen. But anyways, he raised that boy up. That's what he raised that boy up. She didn't bring him to him, but he raised that boy up. She knew it is well, hallelujah. She's got peace within her, even though she had a horrific problem before her. That's prosperity. The what in the world is wrong with you, woman? Or a man all bent out of shape, loses his composure as to who he is, starts raging out, lashing out at anybody and everybody, cussing out everybody, and just, you know, just a mess. He has no peace. But when you have peace, you don't give over to the external things, no matter how bad they are. You just have an inner calmness in you. I can use me in the sense of, not that I brag or boast on me, but I can use me in the sense that things that you walk through in life, some of the most difficult times where, you know, it'd be like all hell is breaking loose, and God would give me peace in order to just navigate through it. It's troubling. It's hurting. It's affecting. I won't go into details of any one of those instances, but it gets to you. One of the worst times is, and then you have to go before the people and minister the word of God, and then God just gives you such peace on the inside. Then all of a sudden, what comes forth, you would never know all of the other stuff that has happened. It's prospering in the things of God to where you're no longer... Your thermostat of who you are as an individual, your temperature, it's not fluctuating. You just have this. So the very God of peace, the source of peace, he says, sanctify you. What is sanctification? Separating, setting you apart. Now, it's not that God has to, I'm just going to use an illustration. Amen? Sometimes illustrations work well. It's not that God has to do this. Minister Killian, stand up. And so it's not like God has to pick you up and then bring you over here and then put you right here. You can be seated right there. You know, in that sense of the setting apart, Dad can set you apart right here, right where you are. I remember growing up as a young man and believing that I needed to get out of Pittsburgh in order to do better, or just to get away from Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh was so bad, I had to get away, because just getting in trouble in Pittsburgh, ... And so as I grew older, and then when I got out on my own, graduated from high school, went to San Jose, and went out there, so I'm away from Pittsburgh. As a matter of fact, I even got out of Pittsburgh and went over to Oakland for a while. And so I got away, but then in going to the other places, still did the same thing was doing in Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh wasn't the problem. And I shouldn't blame Pittsburgh on the problem. And you shouldn't blame where you came from on your problems. The problem resides with you. And you have to deal with you and let God deal with you. And he sanctifies you, not by this. Okay, Minister Kennedy, read it again. Okay, I'm just joking with him. I love him. He don't have to do that. He could do it right there. He can do it right there, right where you are. It don't have to be, I got to be over here. No, he can sanctify you right where you are, right in the midst of those that do the stuff that you do. God can touch you and set you apart. He don't have to take you to another city in order to do it. He can do it right there. Now, mind you, if God needs you in another city, he'll move you to another city. But if God don't need you in another city, he will do everything for you right here. So the very God of peace, this is all in the sanctification, but sanctification is the setting apart. Setting apart from what? Setting apart from whatever it was that was contaminating, interfering, hindering me in my walk and relationship with him. Other people are not your problem. Let me say that again. Other people are not your problem. Well, they just do this, or they just do that, or they're this way, or that way. God is dealing with you. He's sanctifying you, which means he's purging, cleansing, perfecting, purifying, sanctifying, washing you, washing me, if you will. Make it personal. It's not like pointing a finger. That's what Dad wants to do. And he has the ability. This is how awesome our God is. How awesome is he? With over 7+ billion people in the planet, on the planet, the people planet called Earth, God can sanctify each one of us individually and then sanctify us even collectively. He's an awesome God. He's the personal God. So he deals with us on that personal, intimate level to deal with us and then to bring us together as the family to deal with us collectively also. So he said, the very God of peace, the very God of shalom, if you will, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. The Greek word doesn't use shalom. The Old Testament does. But this one uses this word irene or irony. I forget what it was. Let me see. Irene, irene, the more you look at it, it's like the very God of peace. Sanctify you, set you apart, make you holy, consecrate you, purify you, venerate you. That is the one who makes us fit for his use. We can't do it ourselves, but what we have to do is cooperate with his way of doing things. Yeah. That's why we embrace his truth, because Jesus said, and you heard me say this before, according to John chapter 17, around verse 17, I believe it is, sanctify them. Someone look it up for me, please. Sanctify them with the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, he's praying for the disciples. And in that high priestly prayer, he does not pray for the world, but he prays for his own, the disciples. And he says, Father, sanctify them with the truth. And then he says, thy word is truth. So God uses a word to sanctify us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to perfect us. And if you don't think that you're dirty, you better look in the mirror again. Don't cleanse yourself for a couple of days and your body will let you know. We all need daily cleansing in the natural as well as in the realm of the spirit, because our body will get dirty. And just as sure as our body will get dirty, our soul will be contaminated and also our spirit will get dirty. The Apostle Paul said it in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is chapter 6, about cleansing your whole spirit, soul, and body. No, that's not the one. That's this one right here. But he says, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And how is it that we do that except by washing with the water of the word and letting Dad do his sanctifying process? Don't resist him. Receive him. And so this is not the main part that I wanted to get to, but I want to emphasize that, the very God of peace, he's called you to peace and he's given you his peace. Sanctify you wholly, wholly, which means completely. And then he breaks down or he tells us what components make up the whole part of us, who we really are. Sanctify you wholly, completely, through and through. What does that mean? And I pray, God, you're whole. Here we go with the word whole again. Say whole, whole, complete person. Yeah. What is a complete person about you? It's just not this flesh that you see. It's more to it. There's two other components that we must acknowledge and we must allow ourselves to be dealt with by God and by the power of his spirit in order to be who he wants us to be and live the way he wants us to live. He does not want us, and I know this may sound redundant, but nevertheless, sometimes repetition needs to keep going to keep people reminded, because if you don't renew yourself in the realm of the spirit, you're going to just renew yourself in the old realm of the flesh, and you'll give over to the soulish desires, if you will, mind, will, and emotions. Everything you crave, you will go after. Your spirit wants to go after God. Your soul wants to go after anything that's out there, like seeing, touching, tasting, and stuff like that. Your flesh has its own appetite. It's more than just food. It can be other things that it has a desire for. And you'll notice that there are some things that have a stronger pull on you than the spirit of God does. There's some things that you're just attracted to and you naturally draw to. But when it comes to the things of God, you have to work at it. You have to check and see if everything is not okay, then we put God on hold. And everything has to be okay, basically. I mean, we could be going through some things and still come, but for the most part, it's like it is an inconvenient truth that I rather be led by my flesh or by my soul in this world. And the only thing that's going to triumph over that, are you listening to me? Is the power of God. Paul says this in the book of Romans. I think it's Romans chapter 7, I think it is. Forgive me if it's the wrong chapter, but I'll get it for you. He says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to God, nor indeed can be. And so there's a component of me, carnality, fleshly desires, if you will, not just the physical, but the sinful, fallen nature of man that has desires. And that thing is not subject to God, nor indeed can be. My thoughts, if they're filled with carnal inclinations, they will not submit to the authority and power of God. They will rule and want to dominate me. It's only when I come against that in the power of God that I'm able to overcome that. And I'll only be able to do that if I allow God to sanctify me wholly, completely. I don't just want a part of salvation. I want it all. You understand what I mean? I hope you do. So he says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how is that going to happen except the going through the sanctification process of God? Because see, there are some things that, as Paul told the church at Corinth, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things don't edify. All things are lawful for me. But in one case, he says, I won't be brought under the power of any of those things. And those things don't edify. And so if I'm spirit, soul, and body, and all I do is feed my fleshly desires, my carnal nature, fallen nature, all I do is do what this body wants to do, it's going to keep me out of alignment with God. If I do only what my soul desires, and as Jesus says, the soul is sorrowful. He says the flesh is weak. So if I cater to my flesh, I'm catering to the weakest part of me. And I cannot expect to gain victory if I'm only catering to the weakest part of me, the weakest component. You understand that? And then it goes on with the soul. Soul being exceedingly sorrowful, it's full of the mind, will, and emotions, the feelings and things like that. Sensitivity and all. I don't feel good, or I feel sad, or I feel sorrowful, or I feel grieved, or I think, all of that stuff comes out of, if that's weak, the soul is sorrowful, grieving, if you will, and if I only feed that component, you know, that's not going to help me. What's going to help me in my walk and relationship with God is feeding my spirit, because he says the spirit is willing. It's the only positive that Jesus spoke of. Being a sorrowful person. How many of you ever been called sorry? Are you just sorry? You're just a sorry individual. Yeah, some of you understand what that. You know that's not a compliment. And if somebody calls you weak, you know, that's like an insult. You're just a weak. I'll use Minister Posada. Minister Posada. You know I don't mean this. Okay, this, you're just a weak man. You know, I haven't complimented you one bit. Or if I say you're just a sorry individual, you know, haven't come. But if I say you're willing, you even feel better by me saying that. You're willing. And so Jesus speaks to the component of man that will yield the best fruit out of our relationship with him, and that's the spirit. Your spirit is willing to go the distance. Your spirit is willing to sacrifice. Your spirit, man, is willing to honor and obey God. Your spirit don't have a problem with God. God can rebuke you, and your spirit, man, will rejoice. Yeah. Because the spirit, it's like love, love, love. Love is of the spirit. God is spirit, and God is love. So love is of the spirit. And it says love rejoices in truth. And so you speak the truth to somebody that's walking in love, they'll rejoice. But you speak the truth to somebody that's walking in the flesh, and they'll react. They'll react with anger. They'll react ugly. Jesus says the flesh profiteth nothing. Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That is, I'll give you the address for that one because I have to write that one down. It's like, yeah, praise God. That's Romans chapter 7, verse 18. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So why am I going to spend time trying to perfect something that God considers as weak, not profitable, and Paul says, no good thing in it? When I talk to my, if I try and build my self-image up, you know, me, that's where that soul realm come in. It becomes all about me. If all I'm trying to do is do those things just for me, I want to be seen, I want to be heard, I want to be this, I want to be that, and I want to be happy and all of that other stuff, you know, I'm just going to build a selfish person that only really considers himself rather than considering others. My will, my way, my likes, my dislikes. It's what I want. It's all about me. What about me? Type thing. But if I cater, minister, strengthen myself in the realm of the Spirit, I'm ready for everything that God wants to do. So I spend my time now investing in the Spirit. I understand when God is communicating to me from his word, he's not communicating to my flesh, carnal nature. He's not communicating to my soul, my own identity. He's communicating to my spirit that bears the image and likeness of him because he is spirit. And I'm being strengthened in the area that makes me more like him and less like me. I'm not trying to be God. He is God. There is no other God besides him. But I'm his offspring. Hallelujah. And he wants me to bear his image and likeness here in the earth, just like my big brother Jesus did. What Jesus did, he says, we will do, and yea, even greater. When Jesus spoke to Peter, and he said, you know, up to this point, you went everywhere. I'll just paraphrase. Up to this point, you went everywhere you wanted to go, but there's going to come a time where you'll be taken in a place where you don't want to go. But he ended up going anyways. Why? Because his flesh didn't want to go. His soul didn't want to go. But his spirit man went. If the story is true, Peter was on his way from Rome, getting ready to leave because he knew that they were going to crucify him. So he got ready to leave. And if the story is true, it says that Peter saw Jesus walking in through the gates, going into Rome. And Peter looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to be crucified. And they say, Peter said, okay, Lord, he understood. And he went on back rather than running away. His spirit was willing. His flesh was weak. His soul was sorrowful. It's what Jesus breaks down for us even in the garden itself. Jesus conquered his flesh, though he had no sinful nature in it, but he conquered his soul, and he exposed those components. He was telling them, pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to pray. That's why it becomes difficult to pray. Because we'll cater to the flesh when we ought to be led by the Spirit. If we starve our spirit, he will be weak. But if we feed our spirit, he will be strong. If we feed our spirit, our flesh will be weak. If we feed our spirit, our soul will come into divine alignment. And this vessel, this whole component of humanity, spirit, soul, and body, will do those things that please the Master rather than trying to please myself. Or gratifying my flesh, I want to feed my spirit because I want to be like Dad. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, temperance, .. Those are the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things that are there resident. It's just a matter of where we let it grow, mature, and flourish so that it speaks more than some of the other stuff that speaks. Because we'll still give attitudes. We'll still get dirty looks. We'll still say negative things. We'll still say things that do not glorify God. And we know what we're doing. We know exactly what we're doing. And Dad is not pleased with it. I'm not saying that out of condemnation. I'm saying it out of the truth. Dad is not pleased with some of our behavior. And we know it because we know it's wrong. And if we continue to do it, for us, it's sin. And sin brings us out of the will of God. It doesn't draw us to God. It doesn't make us more like God. It draws us out of the will of God. And so we want to bring everything into proper divine alignment for God's glory. We want to grow and mature into who we are as the church of the living God. I once was Hank. I once was Henry. I once was this. I once was that. But now I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Every day I'm new. I'm not old in the kingdom. Old considered in this fleshly body, about to be 60 in this fleshly body, but in the kingdom, I'm new. I'm brand new. Where does the scripture say I'm old? He says, if any man be in Christ, are you still in Christ? That man is male or female. If any man be in Christ, he is a, you're new. God says, behold, I make all things. Now, he's the Ancient of Days. Been around forever and will be around forever. But he ain't looking like no old man with no teeth holding on to a cane or something. He's just as vibrant, powerful, and strong. He always is, always was, and always shall be. He does not have a beginning and he does not have an end. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything begins in him. He goes back, way back to where there is no, you know, beginning. He always was. And he's always doing new things. And he says, I make all things new. That includes you and I. And so what do? We walk in the newness of life. What does Paul tell us to do in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23? He says, and be renewed. Everybody say renewed. Renewed to make new again in the spirit of your mind. Not the carnality of your mind, but in the spirit of your mind. Reminding yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't do that, your flesh and your soul will remind you who you are in the natural. And will keep you living a based lower level of life rather than living the life that God has called each and every one of us up to live. I pray that this makes sense to you. I know it blesses me just to share it. Hallelujah. Because if you don't appreciate it, somebody will. Because it's the truth. It's not a made-up fantasy or made-up lie. It's not positive confession. It's living reality. Live in the newness of Christ. Live under the leadership of your spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, rather than just giving over to this sinful nature that is ever present, which Paul talks about. He says, so I find that I who want to do right, do wrong. So I see that there's another member present with me. This is just paraphrasing. Present with me, the one who wants to do right. And so it's like, it will always be there, but you can always have victory over it. Because the minute you give it an inch, it's going to take a mile. It's going to let you know that it's there. That old man is going to let you know. You'll slip up and say some words you shouldn't say. You'll do something that you should not do. You'll it'll act up. So it's always present. But what do? You reckon it dead, crucified at the cross. You walk in the victory that you have in Christ Jesus. Every day, not just, I did it Sunday. It didn't work Monday. It works every day. It works every day. Amen. Stand to your feet. Always a privilege, a joy, and an honor to share and break the bread of life with you. I just pray that you really get it. Hallelujah. And if you got it and you're walking in it, that you share it with others. And if you're not walking in it, that you'll begin to walk in it. Because this walk is worth it all. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person that is here under the sound of my voice, those here in the tabernacle, as well as those who joined us on Facebook and live stream. We bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you for tuning in. And we just agree with you, whatever you're believing God for that's in his will and according to his purpose for you, that God will release it and grant it to you in Jesus' name. And for this congregation, as always, I pray the power of the blessing over each and every one of you, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift his countenance on you. The Lord give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be healthy, even as your soul prospers. And as you walk this walk and you face resistance and opposition to who you are in Christ, don't bow to the pressure. Be who you are in Christ. Live for God's glory. Conduct yourself as he would do if he was here on this earth. His spirit is in you and has clothed you so you can walk just like he walked, and enjoy the blessing.